You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Am I on now? Okay, good. He's on now, too. Brother Strauss is on now. We got this little song that most of y'all probably know it, but Miss Linda, that Leland was just talking about, he doesn't brag on her very much, but she told us about this song, and come to find out, Strauss knew it. I still don't know it, but he lets me sing a little bit with him on it. And I told Strauss I'd love for him to sing this song tonight, even though Miss Linda's not here. Where is she? There she is. Well, I'm used to you being at the table. That's what the deal. But I did tell Strauss if he's going to sing this song tonight, he's got to wear this hat. He had this hat on when he come in, and I love this hat. So you got to put that hat on, man. Did you say he can't wear it?
I said a word.
Okay. So, I don't know if it makes the song any better or not, but I tell you, doesn't he look cool? Doesn't he look cool with it on? I love it.
How many of you know that if it was not for the blood of Jesus Christ, there'd be no remission of sin? Amen. It's about the blood. The blood, the blood, the blood that covers our sins. Amen. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. And I know it was the blood for me. How many of you know that? You know what?
time we heard that, we were in the Smith unit at La Mesa, Texas. And I thought, I mean, they had a band over there that could do it, and I thought I was going to lose Linda. She did. I'm telling you. Yeah, that's been one of her favorites. The Bible is, I'm going to talk to you tonight about an old man. I'm more familiar with him than I used to be. The Bible is a unique book, and it has so many different stories, so many different adventures. And so if you'd like to follow a little bit with me tonight, and if you like a Bible, would you lift your hand, and we've got some people that'll bring you one. If you do not have a Bible, then you keep this one as our gift from the rec room. All right? Anybody else need one? We're going to be in the book of Joshua chapter 14. And just by way of introduction to this, I'm going to talk about an old man in a younger generation. When Moses was called to deliver the children of Israel out of bondage from the Egyptians, God did a lot of things with them, and he promised them that when he took them out of the land of Egypt and their slavery, he would give them a land of milk and honey. Now, they didn't get to go directly to that. They had all kind of problems getting out of Egypt. But God, in his power and omnipotence, let them walk across the Red Sea on dry land and then drowned Pharaoh's entire army in it when they tried to chase them. God gave them angels' food to eat called manna. God gave them water out of a rock. And God blessed them in all kind of ways. And then he told Moses, he said, get you a man from each tribe out of the 12 tribes of Israel and let them go over and look at the land and spy it out and bring us a report on if it's that good or not. And so they had 12 guys, one guy out of each tribe. Two of those men are named and 10 aren't, and you'll know in a little bit why nobody cares about the 10. But one of those guys was named Joshua, who ended up, after Moses died, leading the children of Israel into that land of milk and honey. The other guy's name was Caleb, and that's the guy that I want to talk to you about tonight. And so they went over, and sure enough, this was a land of milk and honey. They got one cluster of grapes. Now, you've bought a little cluster of grapes out at the grocery store. Theirs were so big that they took two men to carry it. They had a cluster hanging in between them as they walked with it. How big and how great. I mean, they all came back and said, it's just like God said it would be. Man, it is great. But then, 10 of them said, they're too tough for us. They'll whip us. We can't go in. We can't do it. And Caleb said, we can do it. And they said, no, we're not going to be able to do it. Somebody told me today, you know, they started voting. They voted 10-2 not to do it. Somebody told me that democracy is two wolves and one lamb voting on what they're going to have for lunch. Hey. God said, go take that land. I'm giving it to you. God didn't say there wasn't going to be some battles to fight, but he said, you're going to get it. I'm giving it to you. And yet, they said, no, we can't do it. And because of that, God said, I'll tell you what. You're going to get to walk in circles for 40 years. It was 11 days from where they were to the promised land. That's how long it take on the average trip. 11 days. Took them 40 years. And the reason is because God said everybody's going to die before you get to go over. All the adults are going to be dead. I'm not letting any of you go because you decided not to go. You wouldn't obey my words. You wouldn't do it. So for their disobedience, here they are walking in circles for 40 years. Now, guess who's out there walking with them? Caleb. Now, I can tell you that if I'd have been Caleb, I'd have been a little hot about this. He did what was right.
Yeah.
And he's out there with them. They just walk in and circle. I'm sure that was real thrilling and adventurous. You're just watching the guy's back in front of him. 40 years of that. Think about that kind of life. Some of you that are bored. You get up every morning and start walking. You walk till dark. Go to bed. Rest. Get up next morning. Start walking. You're not going anywhere. You're not getting anywhere. And for 40 years they're walking. And Caleb is out there with them. Three things I want to tell you about Caleb. This guy fascinates me. Because at this time, and I want to read this to you. This guy is 85 years old at the end of 40 years. So let's look and see what it said in Joshua chapter 14. We're going to start with verse 6. It said, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son," and I'm going to call him Bubba, because I can't pronounce it, "the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea." Caleb said, "You remember what God told us? He told us we were going to get something because we stood for him." Verse 7. Caleb said, "40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85 years old. Now notice this. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and they were giants, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Bubba, Hebron for an inheritance. And Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb that day. Now, let me take three things about him, because I thought about this guy. He spent 45 years. He was 40 years old when he went over. He came back with a good report. 45 years he's waited to get. What's going on? Number one, sinners didn't sour this guy. Now, I am so tired of hearing about people that know somebody that sinned. "Well, I used to go to church, but the song leader ran off with a piano player. The deacon did this. Somebody stole some money." What's that got to do with you and Jesus? See, I don't have anything to do with that. I can tell you folks that have done wrong. I might have been the one that done it. I don't know. See, Caleb didn't let them sire him. He not come. I also hear this. Let me see if this sits in the closure at all. "Hey, it wasn't my stuff. He bought that goat for my car. I just giving the guy a ride, trying to be a good guy." I didn't know he had any dope on him, Miss Mabel's. I was trying to be a good guy. Gave him a ride, and they arrested me. So to him. How he slipped all up in my pocket, I never know. He also lived with a new generation. Just think about it. He's 85 years old. Everybody else going in with him is 45. I mean, they're a long way apart. See, I've lived long enough. You know, when I was a kid, that girls had ponytails and earrings and guys had tattoos. Now guys got ponytails and earrings and girls got tattoos. Things just change, man. You know? But Caleb's not letting any of this sour him. He didn't blame others. He didn't feel sorry for himself. He didn't talk about hypocrites in Israel. He just kept walking because he knows one day, because God told him, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to bless you for taking a stand. And he's going to get it. And he said, I can do it. Next thing about it is that he suffered right along with him, and suffering didn't stop him. All of his wandering, all of that walking was caused by somebody else. He could have pouted. He could have given up. He could have quit. And he certainly reached retirement age. He's 85 years old. He's been on Medicare for 20 years. See? Goodness. Man's 85 years old. Somehow, I mean, we'll live for God as long as it's easy. God, if you'll bless me, I'm going to really live. Lord, if you just get me out of jail, boy, I'm going to do some stuff for you that you ain't going to believe. See, we don't. Here's a guy that's suffering and not whining. Most of us are whining and don't even know anything about suffering. The worst suffering we ever had is somebody laughed at us. Yeah, we were going to try to live for the Lord and somebody mocked us and we just quit. We just fell apart. If they'd arrested most of us for being Christian, they'd had to release us for lack of evidence. Third thing about him, I thought this was interesting. The struggles didn't scare him. One, the sinners didn't sour him. Suffering didn't stop him, and then the struggles didn't scare him. He said, this fascinated me. Man's 85 years old. He said, give me a mountain. A mountain? You got to climb a mountain. I want a valley. Let's walk downhill. Give me a valley with a pond and trout in it. He said, give me a mountain. They got fenced cities up there. They got folks who want to fight. I'll take it because God's on my side. He said, I still fight as good as I used to.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Now, God must have blessed him because that's not anything I ever want to do again.
Yeah.
See? Goodness. But he's not afraid of them. He's not scared. He said, I'll be able to drive them out. There's a battle to fight. But his confidence wasn't in old Caleb. His confidence was in God. He said, now therefore, in verse 12, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there. If so be, the Lord will be with me, that I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. We don't believe God much. God said, I'll take care of it. God said, you can trust me. We don't believe that. We're most of us like the ten. That's why nobody knows their name. They know Caleb's name. Joshua's got a book in the Bible about him. He was the one that led the children of Israel into that promised land. He was the captain that fought the battles. Caleb wanted that mountain. He's not looking for a place to quit where life is easy and just drop me off. Because he had his eyes on Jesus Christ. I think of the thing and probably the greatest thing that I want is for the rec room to be a place of salvation. And Linda will tell you that if we fill this building and nobody's saved, I feel incomplete. If 40 of you show up and somebody gets saved, I go home happy. Okay. I can remember when we had 7 in the rec room. Then we had 14, 15, and 30. There were times I thought we'd never make it. We were crossing that little building over there when we started. And one night we had a pretty good crowd. Some folks were down from Andrews because one of the ex-inmates that helped us start the rec room was from Andrews. And he brought some people down. And a guy that had been coming to the rec room, a little fella, and I didn't even, I'm terrible with names, didn't even know his name, but always he was nice, spoke to him, and he walked up to me that night, and we had the best crowd we'd ever had about 30 people. And he said, Mr. Maples, he said, they tell me such and such going to be here tonight. And I said, well, I really don't know him. I don't know if he's going to be here tonight. He said, well, I just wondered, said, I shot his brother back in 74, and they don't even let us come to parole office at the same time. I said, God, you sure enough you want us to have a rec room? Boy, this is all we need. And then I noticed, and one of the reasons I think that the parole office has always kind of encouraged us with this, I was talking to one parole officer, he's not there anymore, but I was talking to him one time, and I said, something come up about a guy. I said, he was at the rec room the other night. And he said, yeah, I know he was. I said, how'd you know he was? He said, I checked down there. I said, I didn't see. He said, I didn't go inside. I said, well, you should have come. He said, well, no. He said, I have to make so many visits, and I'd get about 6 at one time down there if I go. He just... We help their job. They ain't come in and stand at the back door and saves on gas. But over the time, but the main thing about it, we've been able to help people. We've been able to do some things. But most of all, we got folks going to heaven because they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the main thing. And when I look at a guy like Caleb, I thank goodness I am so fickle. I'm so faithless of what God can do. Let me tell you, whatever your mountain is tonight, God can help you take it.
That's right.
You keep twisting off. Won't you turn it over to Him? You keep going back through the system. Why don't you turn it over to Him? Why don't you say, Lord, I quit and I'm going to turn it over to You. I give up. Let me tell you, the only way to win with God is to surrender. That's the only way to do it. And just turn it over to Him. And you can get that victory. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. We'll not be long. I don't know what the mountain is in your life, like I said. Maybe. And that this is the biggest mountain in lives, is that you've never been saved. If a tragic accident happened to you tonight, and your life was snuffed out, you have no hope for heaven. I can think of nothing worse. The man who's Carl Menninger, who started the Menninger Clinics, the mental health clinics, large clinics, very well known, made this statement. He said, if I could convince my patients that their sins were forgiven, he said 75% of them would walk out. Wouldn't need any more help. I can't help you in a lot of ways, but one thing I can do is not show you how to get your sins forgiven. Bye. our Father. That's what it means, other than the fact that all of us need more than we ever have. Father, bless you, be with each individual. You're different from the way you are. Your spirit, your faith, your Holy Spirit, can come to whatever we need you. Father, help people tonight to do what they know they need to do. Just a closer walk with it. Would you come? One more verse, nobody comes, we're through. You know what God needs you to do. That's why, like I told you before, if I got to beg you to come and have to beg you to stay, we're not going to do that. What's God want you to do? If you're doing that, great. But you know.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.